Why are you sore, Sid?
Oh, I'm not talking about it yet. I'm not ready.
Tell us. I'm not ready.
Yesterday, I ran 10 miles.
Untrained. What's the farthest you ran before you did this Tough Mudder?
Within like the last year or 2 years, you would say?
Yeah.
2 miles. I'm not kidding. I'm dead serious. What? I ran cross country in high school. No, for 1 year, freshman year. 1 year, freshman year.
Okay, that was a while ago.
And the longest we ran was about 5 miles. That was the longest I've ever ran. Yeah.
And it just makes me laugh because I know you weren't like there to just have fun with it and walk and just enjoy it. You were there to fucking win this Tough Mudder.
We get up there and I go, wait a minute. I go, are we not timed? And they're like, no, there's no timer. I go,
are you kidding?
I go, why? They're all like, oh, it's just not like for that. I'm like, what the, why would you not time me? Somebody put a stopwatch on. Cause I was like, no. So I made someone tell me the time right away.
Sid's like, does anyone have an Apple Watch I can wear? She's like, ready, set, go.
I'm like, what the? Okay, that's dumb. I'm like, that's stupid. 30 obstacles.
Okay.
10 miles.
30 obstacles, 10 miles. Okay, so.
And I started.
Good thing is at least it gets to break up the 10 miles, but still. Okay, what obstacle? Because hardest obstacle, best one that you did that you kicked everyone's ass, and then the one that you looked like a naff.
It was called Funny Monkey. Funny Monkey or something like that. And you climb up like 15 monkey bars,
okay,
like up into a tower, and then you get on these circular like monkey bars things that are twisting.
So you had to climb down. Oh God, I think I know what you're talking about.
And then if you fall into this green pit of water that's like really like right below you, and it was really gross. Tay started gagging; she was so grossed out. Anyway, but
I could just imagine how much forearm strength you need for that.
Oh, and I freaking rocked it. I did it.
Why do you have such good forearm strength?
I don't know. But hey, watch it, watch it. Don't you dare get your little eyeballs out of the gutter. But the worst one was there was a kettlebell one, and you have to run. Jump, grab onto two little handles, swing with one hand and hit the kettlebell. Like, yeah, freaking right.
Oh.
No, not happening. And then you fall into a pit of mud.
It reminds me of, what's the show where the ninja?
American Ninja Warriors. Oh, yeah.
There's like indoor places you go
to.
We
should do that to practice it. And there's like it's called Advance and Adventure. No, that's not what it's called. It's called, crap. I want to do that thing though. But I will say we beat people that had started at the 10 a.m.
Oh,
so we had
sick.
Started an hour and 45 minutes behind them, and we beat them,
so
which is kind of sick. We ran the entire time. Like, I kid you not, I walked for a 0.54 mile or whatever, like, consecutively. And most of the obstacles, you were winded once you got through them. So it wasn't like you were resting.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not going to lie. I checked something off my bucket list, and it was fun. But let me tell you something. During mile one, it takes about 2 seconds, and I had mud in my hoo-ha. Like, literally mud everywhere. Like, no, not okay. Not okay. That was so weird. I was like, God, why'd I choose to do this? So for 10 miles, you have, like, mud in your pants the entire time. Mud in your eye, mud in your ear holes, mud in your nose holes. My boogies were not clear. Like, it was creepy. Like, yeah, it's because you dunk underwater so many times, and it's muddy water.
Yeah, no thanks.
Like, I had stuff coming out of my hair. My friend had, this is so creepy. My friend had a beetle in her pants.
Ew.
A beetle. Yeah, think about it. Because you're literally in the ickiness. She said, not down there. Don't get your head out of the gutters. It was in like the waistband. But like, she had a beetle in her pants. Yep.
No thanks.
No, seriously.
No thanks. So,
no, thank you.
Needless to say, you're a little sore. You went
my legs hurt so
yesterday.
Bad. I climbed those little ladders. I was, it was like chutes and ladders all over again. It was freaking hilarious.
Was this your straight cannon moment of the episode, you think?
Yeah, but I have a funny story too. But okay. I will say the craziest thing was there were people there that were doing infinity. So you start in the middle of the night and you run as many times as you want through it. And there were people that were on their third and fourth time through. Yeah. So they were around either 9, 18, 20, 27 or 36 miles they've ran with the obstacles during that day. Mile 8, I almost threw up. I don't know what happened. It just got really hot and there was like this, there's a giant like half pipe that was like 20 feet high and you have to run up and people grab your arms. Yeah. Anyway, so that was my day yesterday.
I was going to do this with you. But I couldn't. I was at my boyfriend had a bodybuilding competition. It was the first bodybuilding show I've ever been to. It was actually really entertaining. Ben was also there. Did you think it was entertaining?
Yeah, that's like my third one I've ever been to.
Oh, you've been to two more?
Yeah. Yeah, my best friend competed in two in Houston, and like it's like our thing that like when you do this, we're flying out. We'll like basically what we did for Pat, but like times three. Like me and my best friend, we get like super drunk. We show up in like suits and like cheer from the crowd.
Are you kidding?
No, no. It's like straight up like just a thing that we do.
It makes me laugh because I was like I was sitting by Jay and Ben for a little bit, and me and Jay were kind of like laughing at certain things and I know kind of having fun with it. Ben, I look over, he's like really into it. Like, oh, that pose was good. That pose was good, dude. Like, did you see the way? And I'm like, I haven't even looked at the past five people because I'm just like giggling.
What was
and it? Ben like? Is like very into it. He was like, oh, that was a good pose. That was a good pose.
My dad used to be a bodybuilder.
That is
and
crazy.
It's weird. But what is it like? Also, I thought that he did natural bodybuilding. I come to find out that's not a thing. So.
It is actually. Yeah, there's different divisions.
Not often. Though.
There's different. Oh, your dad.
Yeah, and I was like.
Oh, I see.
This guy was like, dude, our dads used to bodybuild the other, and you know. And I was like, what? I'm like, no, my dad did natural bodybuilding. What? What are you talking about? And he's like, oh, sorry. I'm like.
No, they do have like novice. They have like novice categories, which means your first show, which is beginner.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But anyways, that was a good, that was a good old time.
Wait, was it weird or what? Because it's literally overly tan people in little bikinis, which is cool. Like, but the tan part, I think it just makes your muscles show more definition, right?
I will say that. So for someone who's come from like a disordered past, like people have always like, you should try it. I'm like, you know, part of me is like, it was really cool to see the grit. Like these guys put in a ton of effort. Like you guys, Pat hasn't gone out to dinner in like 4 months. Like
and he was so miserable that last little bit. Like he's so hungry.
Yeah. He worked so hard and like it takes a lot of grit. And for me, I'm like, I don't know if this is something I would ever be interested in just because like, if I feel restricted to any capacity, it turns into like some binges. So for me, I have to like, just kind of maintain. It's like, so it's just quite interesting. Like maybe if I'm ever really comfortable with food, it'd be something that I would like kind of do once. Cause it was really cool to see.
It's sick. I mean, the bodies look insane.
It was a little strange to like, at one point I like, all of a sudden I was like, we're literally voting and like, not voting, sorry, but we're literally cheering for like good bodies. Like it felt so.
It is a little weird. The concept of
all of a sudden I was like, what are we doing?
I mean, and the habits aren't healthy, but like if that's part of your like, bucket list or it's something you want to work for, there are things that people do like Ironmans are not healthy for you, like you know what I mean, like there's things that are not healthy for you that people do because they want to compete. So it's sick and I'm freaking proud of Pat.
I think the awareness around it is what's important. Like Pat's like, yeah, this is fucking disordered for sure.
Yeah.
And so like now he's like for sure he's having like a heyday with food today because he's just enjoying it, you know what I mean? So I think it's like if you're doing it and you know and you're aware about everything and you're like safely able to reverse diet out of it, like go for it. What were you going to say?
I was saying I kind of look at it very similar like modeling.
Yeah. Because
models are very, very unhealthy. Mm-hmm. Almost in the same way that these guys are unhealthy.
Totally.
They're just weightlifting at the same time. So
it is kind of the same concept in a way.
Yeah. So people should. Yeah. That's a very good point.
That's a good point, Ben.
And it almost brings up like the question of like the art of it. Yeah. Like there's an art to modeling and there's definitely an art to bodybuilding.
Absolutely.
Like, I mean, you saw it, like some of their poses and their like little routines were so good. Like,
what was
their
favorite
song?
I'm listening to it nonstop.
Oh, it was Creep, but it wasn't the one by Radiohead. It was like a cover.
I'm a creep.
Yeah.
I'm a weirdo.
Wait, was one of the songs someone chose?
Okay. I wasn't paying attention to anyone posing. Then all of a sudden this song came on and it was like this big dude. And it was like this slow song and he was doing all these like graceful moves. And then all of a sudden the beat dropped with this slow girl singing. And it was,
I mean, that sounds pretty
chills.
Sweet.
I had
chills.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it insane?
It was really
cool.
It
is like a show. I didn't realize you had to like dance and move your feet and shuffle.
You guys have
no
idea.
Watch your junk from falling out of your panties.
Uh-huh.
Did you notice that guy only got third place?
The one that did I'm a Creep?
Yeah.
Oh,
wait,
I was so disappointed.
What place did Pat get?
Pat got third in his division.
That's pretty sweet.
In his first show, yeah.
Oh my God.
He did
I
a great
chills.
Job.
That's
I know.
Really amazing.
I actually did cry.
Did you a little bit?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, I was the mom. So you know how in Mean Girls where the mom goes to the front by
the
gate? That was me. Did you not see how close my video was?
I did actually notice that. I'm not going to lie, but I thought you just maybe got front row seats.
Oh, I also did that. But I was up there kneeling down like, and our parents met yesterday, y'all.
Oh my God. I'm just laughing at poor Pat knowing that your parents are
my
there.
My dad. My dad.
Like, imagine being up there, like, almost nude, having to dance to a song for your first time, overly tan, extremely irritable, and getting on stage and being like, my honey's parents are here.
Yep.
And I am going to dance for them.
And you know what? After the competition, every bodybuilder comes out with their shirt off. They're taking pictures with everyone. Aww. Pat wouldn't take a shirt off for a picture. He's like, I've been naked. I've never been this naked in my life for this long. He wouldn't take one picture of this.
Pat's a sweetie. He's just a sweetheart. He's like the nicest human. Like, oh my, I'm proud of him.
Anyways, wow. I need to share my straight kid moment.
Okay, go ahead. Okay. I haven't either.
Okay, so
go ahead.
My straight kid moment is just going to bring in some good, I think, conversation. So we've got TikTok trolls. But I had my first experience with someone creating an account to send me personally hate messages. So I have a social media hater, and they DM'd me and said a few things. Like, it was like one a day for like a couple days. But the last one I remember that I posted, it said, someone needs to put you in your fucking place. So I'm like, all right. We posted it on my gram.
I saw you do that. But I'm like, what does that even mean?
I don't know. But you know what? I was like, you know what? I think this is a step up for me. Like,
I think that's exciting. Because to have
lovers, you got to have the haters.
Oh, they're always going to be there.
Someone literally created an account to send me a mean message.
Did you figure out who it was?
No, but I've tried.
Because usually they follow a few people and they follow themselves to give themselves a follower. That's like a tactic I've seen, and I've caught people like in who they are, and I've messaged them with their real first name and been like, hey, blah, blah, blah. We had a straight candid one. And I was like, hey, blah, blah, blah. I used her real name. And I was like, just so you know, like, you don't need to be rude. If you have something to say, you can say it in a kind way. But I'm sorry if you're going through something, and I'm not sure why you're hating. But it's not, you don't treat people with hate. You treat people with kindness. And she was like so embarrassed.
We should talk about this, how to find out who they are. There's another tactic that I tried. How? So you pretend you forgot your password. You try to log in with their username. Fry Guy, that's his name. Something Fry Guy something. And I tried to log in, and then you say forgot password, and it says, do you want to send an email to? And it usually has like the first letter of their email and their last couple few of their email, and you can kind of like decipher through that. But that's the only other way.
That's genius.
But the email was similar to the username, so it didn't help me. So do they you have made a tactic? Fake.
Just send me the at. I have my ways.
Oh, shit.
You watch out, Mr. Fry Guy.
Fry Guy. Okay, can I tell you something, though?
Yeah.
We had a hater on one of our videos, and this was disappointing because I was like, oh, my God. We had a hater. He was like, women should just shut their mouths or something like that. Or like, and then there was another one. I forget what the other one was, but I clicked on this person. Okay. He is followed by one of my friends and their friends. They're like best family friends. So this guy found us through like the meme, like, you know, like situation where we've been like pushed to other accounts and weird accounts. And the only person that follows him is one of my mutual friends. And I like know, so they're friends. So he's just like a terrible, icky human. And if you went to his account, it was just like embarrassing. Like, it just was not a good vibe, but like, it was so bad vibes, bad vibes, bad vibes. Ah!
We will find you.
We
actually
find you.
You know what? We don't give a shit to even find you.
But I just clicked on him because I was like, who is this mad, angry little man?
It's
like,
actually kind of funny. Man? Ever since we collabed with Ben on one of our videos, we get these weird men in our Instagram comments that are just mean. So if you see those, don't engage. We're not going to give them any.
No, it's so stupid.
Show for that. So, okay. Do you have another straight kind of moment for us? Let's hear
it.
I do.
God, that's just weird. You have a hater. Oh, side note. I got a hater comment yesterday. It was, no wonder you're with Jordan. He's rich or something like that. All makes sense now or something like that. Which, one, he's not rich. People chill out. Two, like, I videoed Jordan in the car. And he was like playing
on your Instagram?
Call Me Maybe. Yeah, in the car. And it would just like showed he was driving a car. And the guy's like, oh, it all makes sense why you're with him. He's rich.
Was it a private
little
account?
Boy. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God.
So it's just like, I mean, people are weird. Like, people say comments like that all the time. Oh, and I remember someone sent like a really bad one of like, once you're done with your Salesforce money, give me a call. And like left his number. Like, to be like, I don't know. I think Jordan used to work there like 3 jobs ago. But like, they're trying to be mean. They're just like, people are just hating on who I'm dating, which is really embarrassing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
someone needs to put you in your fucking place.
That's icky.
And I was like, that's horrible. But then Yana, our girlfriend Yana, she responded, she goes, wait, that's kind of hot. I'm like, wait, it kind of is. Do you think it's sexual? I was like,
I love Yana, the baddest bitch ever. Like, literally teaches us how to like hold our ground and be like,
I'm like, wait, that is kind of sexy. Thanks, Fry Guy.
I love that. Thanks, Fry Guy. No, but my other straight candid moment is, and I'm not going to say who this person is, but they told me I could tell the story. So I thought this was hilarious. We had a few glasses of wine. We had a double date over at our house with this person. And
can you tell me so I can envision this? Okay, yes.
Okay, yeah. So we're having a double date and the boys go play like a little golf in the garage or just hitting balls or whatever. And we're like, we had another whole glass of wine. We were kind of drunk sitting on the couch or whatever. And oh my gosh, I almost said her name. She went to go to use the restroom and she was like in there for a long time. And I was like, hmm. And
girl, all of a sudden,
I know, I'm like, literally, I'm like, God, well, I wonder what she's doing. And then all of a sudden I hear, oh my God, oh my God.
I know exactly what she was doing.
Oh my God. Yeah, clearly. Playing with the bidet? She was playing with the bidet. And she starts wheezing.
That's me, baby.
Wheeze laughing. She's like, Cindy, come in here. Come in here right now. And I'm like, what? And I go over and open the door and I see her on the ground. Her pants are off.
Okay? I thought you were going to say facing forward on the bidet. Like, woo!
Oh boy. On the ground. Pants are down, obviously, because she was using the restroom. Her face is soaked. Her hair, her face, her shirt. Soaking wet. I look at her. I go, what the hell is going on in here? She didn't think the bidet worked. So she was trying to like turn it instead of pull it up. And she's like, what the hell is going on?
Right,
so she tried
face.
Like six times and she turns around. She stood up and she goes, it's clearly not working. Just toilet water in her face, in her mouth, in her eyes, hair soaked, shirt soaked, just soaked. Like soaking wet, like toilet water on her face. I was like, I've never seen anything like this. I was laughing so hard. And then the boys, of course, come in and they're like, what are you doing? And she's just wet. Like, I mean, literally picture like little wet tendrils on the side of the face and just like, I'm okay. We were, thank God we were wine drunk because we were cracking up. Otherwise, I think she would have vomited. She gets really grossed out. Anyway, I just thought that was hilarious because I'm like, first of all, why do I have a bidet? It's not like a fancy one. It's one you can plug into your toilet. It costs like $20 on Amazon. Jordan, don't ask. I don't know.
Oh, I was just going to say, I have a weird thing where I don't like using other people's bidets.
Well, I think that's icky. See, I don't know why.
I agree. Yeah.
I think it's gross. I don't know. I don't like to be wet also, so no.
I'm like, that's mine. For you guys. Like, that's not for me. Yeah. I'm just here to visit.
It's for you. That's for you guys.
Unless it's like they have a separate
I'm
bidet.
Sweating. That was really funny, Ben.
A separate bidet from the toilet?
God.
I don't know.
I don't know.
All right, you guys. Enough bidet talk. We got the man. He's walking in. His name is Jonah Stillman.
The man, the myth, the legend.
I think without further ado, we're just going to have him introduce himself, I believe. So.
Yes, we are.
Let's bring him on, baby.
Jonah.
Bye.
Jonah.
Jonah.
You're here.
What's up?
Jonah, I love how you're here. Jonah's here. Yeah. I hope you're on YouTube right now. Wait, we're freaking hyped that you're here.
Thanks for having me.
And you brought a friend too.
I brought my girlfriend, Anna.
He's like, not a friend. I know. You got a friend. Hi, Anna.
Hello, hello.
Jonah, wait, will you give us a little intro? Because we cut you short and we didn't want to intro you because you got a lot going on.
My name's Jonah Stillman. I live in Minneapolis, born and raised. I've floated around, but I'm living in Minneapolis now. I am 23. I am a
23
entrepreneur. I'm a public speaker. I'm an author. I'm a best-selling author. I guess I get to say that. I specialize in helping companies, brands in literally every industry better understand the different generations in a host of different ways. So that's what I do.
And
I'm the founder of Gen Guru, which is the company that does that.
Oh, Gen Guru. Okay. Gen Guru. I didn't know that. I was just going to say before you even are like, I don't know if this is something that I really want to listen to, talk about. I'm just saying we're all part of a generation and we're all in the workplace and we all could get a benefit from this conversation. Because right away it's like, but
maybe that intro is like kind of boring, but
it'll be fun. It will be fun.
It's not boring at all. Don't think that. Wait, you 23 and already has a best-selling novel? And has a company and does public speaking.
Didn't you were you on TEDx?
I have done a TED talk.
Isn't that crazy?
TED is cool.
Dude, you are on my bucket list. This is annoying. No, I'm saying shit. I want to do all this. That's amazing.
Thank you.
What was your TEDx?
So my TED was about Gen Z. And in my book, Gen Z at Work, we did a bunch of research and then identified the 7 key traits of understanding Gen Z in the workplace, marketplace. But one of them is a trademarked phrase that we have, which is called phygital, which is like the blending of the physical and digital worlds.
Yeah.
Which is generally like the approach to how Gen Z views most of the world. And I was kind of explaining just the differences between like how most people, say under the age of 25, view most situations compared to older people, older generations.
Which is completely different, obviously.
Yeah, in most regards, yeah.
Before we even get into, like, the takeaways from that and what you found out, what is, who's Gen Z versus millennials versus, because when we were texting each other, I was like, let's talk about millennials. You're like, well, it's actually a misconception. So yeah, I want to hear it.
And that's, like, the biggest thing is, so we define Gen Z as those born between 1995 and 2012. What's interesting is you'll go on Google, some people will say 97 to 2010, but, yeah. Really quickly, the theory on why generations are different is each generation during their formative years, say between when you're 10 and 18, you experience unique events in the world that change the way you look at the world. So for example, Gen Z was shaped by, we're the first post 9/11 generation. We grew up in the midst of the 2009 recession, the rise of like autonomous technology. So naturally, like, people get hung up on when, oh, I was born here, so that's what generation I am, when in reality, it's more based on what you grew up with that shapes, like, the lens through which you look at the
life
world.
Events. Yeah. Not your years that you were born. Oh, yeah. Okay, interesting. I didn't know that.
So typically, or if we were to do research on Google versus what you say, maybe we would be different generations. Yeah. Because I was born in 95.
So yeah, you're right on the cusp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
What does that mean? For a cusp person? Well,
so how do I identify?
There's actually a chapter in the book called Cusper the Friendly Ghost.
Oh,
which is cool. Ooh. So we want to know something sick about cuspers. Cuspers, if you look at, like, this is just a random stat, but if you look at most Fortune 500 businesses, an overwhelming majority of the CEOs are born on the cusp of two generations. And the reason is...
You know it. You know it.
But the reason is because they can tend to understand, like, the old perspective, but also understand, like, who's challenging and trying to do something different. Like, you can just understand both sides of it. But you usually identify with one generation more than the other. And I'm guessing you're more Gen Z.
I think I'm more Gen Z.
You for sure are.
When he said that, he looked from my toes to my head. He was like, you're more Gen Z.
Oh, yeah. The judgment was there.
It's like, I'm checking Sophie out, but just for her generation.
Yep, her generation. What? Check. Quick Gen check.
Gen Z, millennial.
I was born 97, so I'm clear Gen Z. Yeah. Okay, interesting. Because I for sure have told people I think I'm a millennial or something.
I said the same thing.
Well, that's what you said in the audio message, and I was like, which is like 90, like most times I go speak somewhere, which is like the main thing I do. It's the first time said group has heard about Gen Z. And that's why people are like receptive to it. Cause frankly, people are like tired of hearing about millennials. They're the most talked about generation in history. I have no shit to say about millennials. I think millennials are great. But a lot of people are excited to hear about Gen Z, where they're new, they're different, and they got a very different perspective on life.
Do you think that there's a common misconception that Gen Zers are like really, like aloof and like don't care and they want everything to be theirs immediately, and like what's the other like few that they use too much technology,
selfish.
They don't work hard, they don't want to like create community because they just want to be at home. Like I keep hearing all these negative things.
Yeah.
And it's all coming from older generations.
All right, so there's two parts to that. One, it's common, like the youngest generation always is gonna be labeled quickly this and that. But there's also a lot of truth to some of those things. Like for example, Gen Z does seek like things right away. They're very demanding, especially in their jobs. One, but mostly this because we can be. Like, we have, frankly, just more privilege than older generations to pick and choose certain things. So that's that aspect of it's true. But I think that, yes, people initially approach Gen Z and, in general, younger generations with, like, a negative scope on what they're going to actually be like.
So interesting.
So how do you bridge that gap in the workplace?
Yeah.
So, there's two sides to it. One, I think, like, if you're a Gen Zer and you're in the workplace, like the number one thing that I always get asked about is something along those lines. And I always tell young employees that because of the ability to pick and choose where you want to go, more flexibility around the job, you can be like, oh, I'm not going to work here if I can't work remote. Those type of conversations. The difference is it's oftentimes not what the Gen Zer is asking for. Like, so let's just say it's not what you're asking for, it's how you're asking it. So think about if you're a new employee and you come to your boss who's been in that, who's risen the ranks of that job for 33 decades, 4 decades, and now you're saying, I want flexibility around when I work. It doesn't matter if I'm in the office. And when they grew up, that was not the case, and it's how you're asking it. So what I say, this is a kind of a fun one, is what you got to pitch is evolution, not revolution. If you come in and say, I'm changing this, that, I don't want this, we're going to do this now, it's super threatening, and it makes sense. Like, whoa, that's not how we click around here. Versus if you pitch a revolution, like over the next 3 years, I'd love to see X, Y, and Z happen, and like kind of like project like a tangible path of like where you think their company would be better going. That's better. So instead of coming and saying blah 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 blah, we're doing this now, you know, like show them that you have longevity there and like you can help them grow as a company altogether.
Be a tool, not like
evolution, not revolution. Don't just.
That's actually really helpful.
It is. Wow. Because even I feel like I've caught myself like in roles being like, no, I'm not. Coming here unless this, this, and this. And I feel like at first, like this is like my 2 jobs ago it came off probably like, oh, wow, you really like want what you
but
want.
On the flip, but on the flip of that, like in today's world, we kind of have that ability way more so than older generations to do that. We can say like, well, I can get what I want elsewhere. And that's why, you know, like the Great Resignation, all these different things is because a lot of places are doing it really well and we hear about it. So then we're naturally going to gravitate to that company or, you know, industry.
You know what this reminds me of, Sid, is when we, so Sid and I had an opportunity to almost have a radio station show and they wanted to pay this much and at this hour, and me and Sid had demands. We're like, and now that I'm thinking about it, there's probably a different way we could have gone about it, especially probably. Me. I got a little heated on the call. You just missed your mouth with that coffee, by the way.
I just everywhere.
But it was like, you know, it's like it's in the podcast world now. Like we expect this much, and there's like we should have maybe we put the more tangible steps in there to
at the same time though, we did ask the right questions.
Yeah.
And I was like, so we're not growing, we're not getting that guaranteed audience, and we're only being paid this for this amount of time, and we have to sign a very long contract, and I have balances that I need.
Yeah.
And I'm not.
Right.
And
it's
I
also
like,
what
you
guys
no.
want out of your show, right? Like, it's to some extent signing a radio show deal, and I've had numerous offers and different production stages, and like, and it just depends what you want. If you want security and you want a guaranteed audience and you don't want to have to do a lot of the post stuff and you want to just put out content, it's probably to some degree easier. You don't have to hustle as much. You don't
That's
have to.
That's fair.
But on the flip side, if you want more control and when you're going to record, what you're going to record, who you're going to have on, like there's just, it just, from a business side of things, right, you just decide what you want.
We would have been filtered too. That was part of the thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, crap. I had something to say.
Oh, sorry.
Really important.
I shouldn't have said that. No, sometimes it's okay. I just have an idea and I blurt it out. Well then, okay. Do you want me to wait?
No.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, okay, so Gen Z kind of gets a little bit of a bad mark. Okay, go ahead.
I was going to say, and that's exactly what I was going to say, though,
bad
is
rep.
It's almost like when we do have those demands, because we are that generation, they blame it on that. Like, do you remember after that call, I felt like it was like they were superior and we were not, because it just made me feel like we were doing something wrong because we had those demands.
Well, I think it's also on the same, it kind of blends in. You know, we talked about like people love knowing what generation they're in. People love knowing what their characteristics are. People also love just trying to just decide like, oh, this generation's better at that, worse at that. I like this one more. When in reality, kind of coming back to that same topic, and it's like, I talk about this all the time. It's like when you understand that neither side of it's right or wrong, and it's just different. And that's the cool part about why things change with the different generations, is that's what's beneficial. It's not that the way you approach it is better or worse than a Gen Xer might have done. It's just different, and that's what's cool about that aspect of it.
Well, so obviously generations don't quite see eye to eye, and we're like the youngest one. We have the least amount of work background, right? Like, we don't have the experience. We do have the knowledge because of all the technology and all the different things that we can intake, and all the opinions that we can intake because of social, right? Like,
exactly.
An evolution of technology. How do we like get the respect of the older generations in the workplace, or vice versa?
Question.
How do you gain the respect, or sorry, give the respect to those Gen Zers, depending on where you're sitting in the workplace? Because it's not easy.
I think that it's a few things. One, you're absolutely right. So like, naturally, what's so interesting is a Gen Zer entering the workplace today, because of the time we grew up in, knows how innately to be more efficient and theoretically be a better employee than previous generations, but it doesn't mean that, you know, we're ready to take on bigger positions. So it's like a Gen Zer entering the workforce today knows more about how to streamline things, knows more about innovation in terms of speed and what's changing and how to just simplify their jobs. But there's also a benefit to being at a company for years. And I always, what I'm seeing a lot now is like, it's the era of two-way mentorship.
So
Gen Zer entering the job is really going to connect with like a baby boomer, because they have a lot to share about corporate culture and like all the things that is at that company. But at the same time, a Gen Zer is like, by the way, I can like give you a Chrome plugin that's going to save you so much time to do your standard job. And like, that's like that aspect of it's really cool, just because you can help both sides of it. And that relationship is important, as if you want to stay somewhere and grow, like that's. That part of it's cool.
This is interesting, because I've actually wanted to talk about this on a few different podcasts, but I wasn't sure where it would fit in.
Yeah.
Mentorship.
Yeah.
Can you talk about mentorship and the importance of it? Because I kid you not, I swear by it. Like, it is the only reason I am where I am today.
Me too.
And I keep in touch with my mentors, even at, they were at old companies, and I have different types of mentors, and some are older, some are younger. Like, can you talk about that?
Yeah. I think like on a macro level, and I'll talk about like personally, I think that like mentorship is huge, and that's probably the one thing in the early stage of like young people's career right now that we're not getting, and that's because of COVID, is the idea of like, there's so many benefits to remote working policies and, you know, hybrid, all this and that, but the one thing Gen Z's not getting is something that we call like social capital, meaning like you might be really good at your job, but you're not meeting the right people. And like, that's how, like you're saying, Sid, like how careers happen, right? It's not really about doing your job. It's about, it's not even about being in that meeting. It's what happens after the meeting, right? You yep. step out of a meeting, you're walking out of the office and somebody's like, oh, I'm headed to so-and-so in Excelsior. Like, oh, I live in Excelsior. Then you two make a connection. And then 3 weeks later, that person thinks of you for a specific project. And all of a sudden you're ahead of your coworkers to be promoted first, right? So that connection, AKA social capital, isn't happening on a remote workforce because you join a Zoom meeting. You're lucky if your fucking boss even turns on their camera. And
I know.
If they do afterwards, what happens? Bad. Everybody's like, off. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, now just back to my day job. And I've seen it, like, you know, so that aspect of social capital, and, you know, that's where you need to get those mentorships. And then I guess on a personal level, I'm the same boat. Like, I have been blessed with like the most empowering mentors, like my dad specifically. My dad's my business partner. I have no problem. Like, you know, I'll get DMs all the time, or I'll get hear people like, oh, you wouldn't be where you were without your dad's previous business. I'm like, yeah, no shit. I'm so aware of that, but it doesn't mean that you don't have to work hard, find your niche.
Yeah, what
and
is that even?
I know, it's like, but that's like, there's nothing wrong with, you know, taking advantage of certain circumstances.
You also are very well spoken, and like, there's no way you'd be like, what? You have a lot of talent.
I mean, that kind of blends in with that. I went through like rigorous speaking training, media.
Did you
training.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, like, but it's also like my approach. Like, so it's talking kind of on like the way that we run our business, the way that I approach it is like, there's a lot of people that will claim, and I'm not a big, like, I'm not going to bash other people that will claim like, oh, I'm a Gen Z expert, or I talk about Gen Z. But what they really are is like how, like almost like a focus group of one. They'll go do a panel and somebody will ask them a question and they'll be like, blah, 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 blah. This is what Gen Z thinks. When in reality, it's what they think. And they're seeing themselves as all of Gen Z. When my approach has always been like, I very much clarify if I'm talking about what I think or if it's what the data thinks to, so, or
that's
speaks to. So like
smart.
When I go speak, which is the main thing I do, it's I view myself as a representation on behalf of Gen Z. I don't align with a lot of the data, but I'm talking to what the data says. So
right.
It's not what Jonas Stillman thinks. It's what the generation statistically is doing.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like the difference is like, that's I think why I've had success in the speaking world and like terms of businesses is because it's not me. I'm just like a representation with the data in a way.
That's insane.
And I kind of, there's so many different directions we could go with this conversation, but since you just talked about public speaking, I'm kind of curious just because we speak every day on this podcast. And like, yeah. I feel like listeners are sometimes like, I have to give a speech in class or I have to present in front of my work. Like, what are some tangible tips that we could take as a listener or as Sid and I to become better at public speaking?
Presenting. Oh my God. Presentating. Yeah. Let's go presentate. God.
Well, when I presentate, I'm just kidding. No, I think
I took it seriously because it came out of your mouth. I was like, yes.
Oh, it is. Yes. Yeah. Oh, okay. Naturally. Yeah. Sure. I don't know. I think speaking is one of these things that like, I totally get it. Like it's so intimidating, but it's also like, it's like anything else. It's all about like reps, right? If you do it, the more you do it, the less nervous you are. Like I don't get that nervous to speak. Like to me, a room of 2,000 people is far less intimidating than doing like a boardroom thing. Like I was just at a big company. I spoke to a huge company, their executive board. It was 12 people. And that is so much more intimidating than to me being speaking to a room of 1,500 people, just because it's just kind of like a C at that point, and versus like they'll stop you half in a boredom. They'll stop you halfway through your thing and be like, what does that mean? And then you have to like go off, you know, what you were planning. But you
the
know,
repetition thing, sorry to interrupt.
No,
repetition
yeah.
thing is so important because bringing it back to our first podcast.
Oh God.
Like, if you go listen to our first one, we were struggling.
On the same
we didn't
way.
Know what
and
we were doing.
And I even would have this thing. It still happens to me occasionally. If you listen, you probably know. But like I'm in the middle of something and a rant. And I'm like, oh, I got my bearings. And then all of a sudden I realize that I got my bearings. Yeah. And I will just blank and stop talking.
Yeah, that's when I read a straight candid moment.
Yes.
I realize that I'm reading on camera and I can't read. All of a sudden I can't see the words and I stutter. And
I get nervous and I become aware that I'm talking. And then all of a sudden I stop talking.
I think all of those things. And when it comes to speaking, the other thing I always think of is people are so critical on themselves. And like, I think the best way that I was, you know, like from a coaching perspective, like when I say I really did go through like a lot of speech training, I had speech coaches, I had media coaches, which are all like to help you one, you know, figure out who you are as a speaker and then also like what your points are going to be, but also how to deliver. And then one of the biggest things I remember being told early is put yourself in, you know, in the shoes of the audience, right? If you're watching somebody speak, like let's say I went to a conference and Sophie's the keynote speaker. If she like stumbles and messes up, you're not like, oh my God, she's so bad. Like, oh my God, what is she doing here? Like a little mishap or she like, where am I? Or like, you know, like, oh, you know,
where am I?
What am I doing? Or like, what was my point here? It's not like you're like, that was, this is bad. What is she doing? But when you're in that moment as a speaker, it feels like the end of the world. And I get that. Like if you screw up or you know, don't get to your point the way you wanted to, it feels like the end of the world. Just like take a step back and remember if you were in the audience, is it that big of a deal? Like it happens all the time. Like, and just kind of like play into it, right? I've figured out different ways to like, you know, make people laugh at mistakes or, you know, I've had everything. I've given over 1,000 keynote speeches and it's
holy
like,
holy Jesus.
And it's like, but
what's
it's
a joke that you say when you fuck up?
Well, if I stumble, my go-to is I'd like to buy a vowel because also my target audience is usually a little bit good. Older and that's a Jeopardy reference and people love it. If I'm like,
oh, that's smart.
I'll be like, oh, I'd like to buy a vowel, please. And then one, if you buy a laugh, it gives you like 15 seconds to kind of like reset, like, cause you got to wait for it to stop. But like, I've had so many things go wrong. I've had clickers die for slides. I've had audio not play. I've had, you know, I've forgotten pages of a script and I've gone without notes. I've had microphones cut out. And it's just kind of like you roll with the punches. And just remember that, like, once again, it all comes back to no one in the audience is out to get you. They're on your team in a way. Like, they came here to learn something. They came here to be entertained, whatever it is you're speaking about, or they're curious in most situations. So they want you to do well.
I needed this tip. Right. Yesterday, so you know what I mean? During my class, my playlist failed. My beat drops got completely mumbo jumbled. My cooldown, cooldown song was during sprints, and I panicked. I completely panicked. The class was not my best class.
That's okay.
It's fine. You know what I mean? Like, just roll with those punches. But like, and the more I speak, the more I learn like what works, what doesn't work, and it's like the combination of like that point and then also just the repetitions. But from like an actual content side of thing, yeah. I think like, you got to know what you're going to talk about, right? There's people that wing it. Like, I come very prepared. Like, I have note cards and, you know, I prep a lot of work. And that's because, you know, also as a speaker, it's not cheap. Like, I know that people are spending a lot of money to hear what I have to say. And I respect that, right? Like, I'm not going to come and every speech is the same opportunity, whether it's the sexiest company in the world, which I've done a lot of those. But I've also spoken at a lot of window and door manufacturers or agriculture things, which are, like, not as, you know, glamorous, but it's equally as important, right? They're clients and... And coming prepared and just knowing what you want to talk about.
Sexiest jobs don't always make the most money, people, by the way.
100%.
Like painting windows and doors. Like you guys, these are that's where the money is. I'm not going to lie. Like plumbing even, like I'm kid you not. There's so much money in the non-sexy businesses. And I think that's a miss of Gen Z's. And this is a general perspective / opinion, like observation.
Sure.
Is like, I feel like we tend to move towards like a sexy job or like
because
what would be
sounds,
the coolest.
Because it sounds like you make more money even though you don't make
But it's
more
like,
money.
Also, why is that a habit of us? I don't understand.
It's like think about it this way. Like you hear Gen Zers like, I want to work at Snapchat, Google, Uber, DoorDash, all these things because, but they're the companies that are on our radar, right? Like growing up in your formative years, once again, you interacted with Google, you interacted with YouTube, you interacted with Snapchat. You didn't interact with, you know, a healthcare provider at 13. So, like, it's almost the responsibility of those companies to put in the equal effort, right? Like, they need to show up at career fairs. They need to put out content to know what jobs are like in that industry because, and I talk about this a lot in speeches, if you're in an industry that isn't innately on the radar of a young person, how are you just going to assume that they are going to pick a career in your company? And that's kind of
genius, yeah.
One last point that's interesting about that is, Gen Z picks careers so much earlier than other generations. Like, we go to college. I think the stat is, like, 72% of Gen Z go to college with a predetermined career in mind.
Oh, whoa. I didn't.
Just because it's.
I remember freaking freshman year I had to pick what I wanted to do.
Exactly.
Like to figure out my college classes.
Yeah.
That was
and then
stressful.
I was like, I don't really want to work for someone else. I want to work for myself. And then I'm like, and then I'm screwed. So this could kind of transition into entrepreneurial talk.
Yeah,
Chat.
And well, the closing on that I would say is, and then companies get mad when they're like, "Oh, I'm recruiting juniors in college." I'm like, "Well, they've known what they're gonna do for 5 years."
Yeah,
so
it's
not
interesting.
On them. Yeah,
and we see things on social media. I feel like a lot of people are like, "Oh, I could do that because I see the video." I have a problem. I think as like a Gen Zer of like, I could do that. Oh my God, that makes money. I could do that for sure. And I see a video of it. And I'm like, I can do that. I'm gonna try to do that. It's like, why don't I just focus on the things that I'm already doing to get the best at those things versus try to come up with a new habit that's a moneymaker? I don't understand why, but I have a
Absolutely.
Problem with it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think that is like a great transition into entrepreneurship, because it blends in with like what I was saying about the Snapchats of the world, is that like entrepreneurship in the last however many years recent became super sexy, right? Like once again, because you're seeing entrepreneurs put out content of the 5 ways to work from an island and make $100,000 a month.
Yeah. That's my TikTok algorithm right there.
Right. Well, I saw one yesterday. I have to say this, you guys. It was like, this is how you're going to make 5 figures in under 2 weeks. And he goes, you don't.
Yeah.
You literally don't. And he's walking around and he has like a Target shopping bag and he like flips over his shoulder. And he goes, you just can't. And then that's it. That was the video. I thought that was so funny. It's like so timely.
But it's like entrepreneurship has become really sexy. Like people see... Because it's like in some regards, like entrepreneurs really only like most people only post like the highlight reel, right? They're only posting the outcome. They're only posting the grand pumas. They're not posting like all the work that goes into it. So it's kind of like naturally, if you're seeing all that stuff, it's like, oh, wow, he doesn't have to show up at an office. Wow, he gets to travel a lot. Oh, my God, he gets to do XYZ. It looks awfully sexy to somebody with not like with any of the back information, right?
The thing is like you can't do the things that everybody else is doing because the jobs are already there, and that's like the most sought after jobs. I truly think like sometimes you got to find a weasel around of like maybe it's not the sexiest company you've ever heard of, but the role exactly matches something that interests you. And because 900 people aren't fighting for that one job at Spotify, like you actually are treated like with the utmost respect, and you're not just like this gritty little like a rat working, you know what I mean, for $5.
Gritty little rat. Naked little rat.
mole rat,
naked wet rat working.
What's the saying?
The shit that comes out of your mouth sometimes, I love it.
I'm sorry, I know, and then you're like, you
and then
make
I just,
me realize.
And then I'm like, yes, keep going. Do you think entrepreneurship is, being successful with it, is luck or knowledge or who you know, what you know? I guess that was 6 questions, but
no, I get the premise of your question. I think in general, like it's probably just like a massive combination of all the things. Like, sure, there's luck involved in everything, but I think the biggest thing is to me, like to both of your points, like the riches are in the niches, is which are basically like, to summarize what Sid's saying.
Toot,
is like if you try to recreate what somebody else is doing, I mean, sure, it's not like it's not gonna work, but
I love that the riches is in the niches.
The niches,
like find like your niche.
I thought they were niche.
It is, but it depends on.
Yeah, but
you
it
say.
Sounds.
But
way
it
cooler.
Rhymes.
If
okay.
If you can't say the riches are in the niches, then it's like, oh, that's got no punch to it.
Well, because I always my mentors always said, don't recreate the wheel, just do it better.
Exactly.
Like, so don't try to make up something, but don't copy what's already being done super well. Find something.
Yeah. So like take mine for example. Like. Gen Z is like a huge generation, but like my offering is very specific, right? Like I'm saying, I'll come to your company, I'll come to your conference and give you 60 minutes of exactly what you know, need to know about how to sell your product or how to recruit them into your workforce. Like that's very specific. Like if you start to really think about from a business offering, what it is.
Yeah.
So then for example, somebody searches Gen Z workplace speaker, there's not going to be a lot of other options, which it's a big market with not a lot of offerings.
And what a great smart. Thing to invest for a company, because you're going to have, like, that is genius.
Yeah,
that
it's
is
so smart.
Cool.
Companies spend a lot of money on
training. Oh, yeah. I remember during COVID, can I say a company name?
For me?
You were literally like on a Zoom call. He's like, you're like, hold on. He's like talking to Colgate's like.
Yeah, I did it. Colgate's cool.
The hell is, you're 23? What is going on?
And then I broke your Lizzo statue.
Which I still have, and it's in my bathroom, so it's a little...
Can you explain those quick? So I walk into Jonah's room, and he has, like, this Lizzo, like, laying down, like, grabbing her hips, and he loved...
And was like, yeah, I know what
like, it is. He loved this Lizzo statue.
I still
statue.
Have it. It's, I found
and
it at, like...
every time I would go in his room, I would give her a little spank. And one time I spanked Lizzo.
Just a little just right off the table.
Little
just gave
too
her
hard.
A little too much dip on the chip.
And... broker.
No.
And I almost cried. I like went up to
Jonah. No, I swear you were a little teary-eyed when you
because I knew how much you loved
well I still
Lizzo's
have and
statue.
I'll send oh maybe I don't know if you add images, but I'll text you guys a picture so you can include it. But I put her back together, but I voted stickers like the it's just holding her all together.
So
but
why do you have this though?
That's I don't
seriously,
know, even
like,
know
what's
where
going
I
on?
Got it. I swear it was like when I just found it like a garage sale, like a dollar, Lizzo. And it's just like a funny sculpture. I think
someone had a Lizzo sculpture at
it's
a
not,
garage
okay,
sale.
Time out. It's not actually Lizzo. It's
oh, yeah.
I don't, it can't actually be. I think somebody, it might have even been Sophie, said it looked like Lizzo, and then I've just been calling it that ever since. But
I'm scared.
The Lizzo's, it was on my desk while I was at my office. Now it's in my bathroom at my apartment.
She gets around. Okay.
I'm trying to find didn't you get more Lizzo's?
No, that was in Greece. I was just in Greece with Anna, and there was the whole store, and they just had, but I wanted to get one. But
a Lizzo store in Greece.
Okay,
well,
we got to.
Okay, sorry,
gotta,
sorry, sorry, sorry.
It was all like it was like the same art theme, but I was like, I have to get one. And I took a video to send it to Sophie, and the guy was like, "No pictures, no video." I was like, "Relax, first of all."
Oh, that's.
But then I wanted to buy one, but they were like this tiny ones were like $650 or something. I was okay, like, no. But I don't even know why I have it. But I think actually this is a hilarious. I don't know if this quantifies as a straight something that's candid of me.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Colgate thing, so I did like a year long partnership as a Colgate ambassador. We did a lot of different events, and they had super cool like guests. We would do different things. So I did this. It was probably like a Q&A thing with Michael Phelps, the Olympic swimmer. And I get on. It might have even been the same time Sophie's talking about. I get on, and they had sent me like this really cool at-home setup because it was during COVID. I had like a professional camera, lights, microphone, cords, all this stuff. And it was in my bedroom at my old house. And I get on this Zoom or whatever it was, and it was me, the two moderators, an agent of sorts, and Michael Phelps, and we were talking what the event was going to be.
Oh my
god!
And the first
thing I said is, so I get on, Michael Phelps says, "Oh," Michael Phelps looks at me and goes, "Oh, I love your hair," or something like, "You got great hair," or something. Mm-hmm. And I just like panicked. I was like, caught me so off guard because I was like, I don't know what I thought, but I just go, "Oh, you too." And Michael Phelps is just completely shaved head. I was
like, oh my god!
I was just like, no. I was like, no. But it was just like this.
Fuck.
But it was like one of those things. It's just like, that's just like.
I would get
it was
so
fun.
Like
and then
red.
And then it's one of those things where I was like, oh, you too. And you just kind of like, how's everybody doing?
How's everybody going?
But that was like, that's, but yeah, so like, I think that like.
That's a good straight
candid. That's very
moment.
Straight candid. I will like say that. Michael Phelps was literally my first love. Like literally when he was in the Olympics, you know, his prime, right?
Yeah, of course.
Was that Beijing? Loved him. Yep. I loved him so much. He would warm up. He was in his little outfit.
Little back
and I remember
slaps.
We were watching the Olympics and I went into my bedroom and I wrote him a love letter and I wanted to mail it to him, but I didn't know how to mail at the time. So I ended up keeping it, but I literally wrote
so
Michael
Gen
Phelps
Z
like
of
a
you.
Total love letter.
If you
and
find
I was like,
it,
I will
you
look,
should read it.
Because it was like, I think you're amazing and I really hope that we can be together one day. And it was like, seriously, I was in love with him. I like cried. I don't know why I cried. I can't remember.
Speaking of love.
Anna's sitting over there. She's got like some little pink dot on her nose.
It's because of her coffee. They put like a little pink writing on it. And I was like,
she's not even on camera. And I'm just like,
speaking of love.
Yeah.
Jonah, how did you two meet? Like we're wondering the singles out there. How do you meet such a beautiful, cute little sweet
Anna's
little
the best.
Peanut?
So our not that it's not exciting, but it's not that exciting like, in a way. Like Anna and I went to high school together.
Okay.
Oh,
we knew of each other. We knew each other in high school. We were like friendly. We were very different, but like we just reconnected. I don't know. Anna slid into my DMs. Am I allowed to say
get it? Anna,
you queen.
How'd you slide in?
Yeah,
what'd
you say?
I literally said, hey, smiley face on Snapchat.
That's all they got to do.
And
I'm telling you.
I'll remember like when she did
because
it.
I was like, oh, there's no way he's going to see a DM from me. Like,
I love this.
But I was golfing. I'll never forget. I saw it and I was like, I didn't open it right away. You gotta play it cool.
Play it
super
cool.
Chill. But then like it just like, and I think that like on the topic of like relationships, I was, not that I was anti-relationship at all. I just didn't like, wasn't looking like,
That's when it comes.
Especially just because of like the life stage I was at then, which I'm still now, it's a little different. I travel a ton and I think it just takes somebody that understands like, that like, it's not because like one matters more than the other, but I'm in 100% on both sides. And I'm very much like that. If I decide I'm going to do something, I'm going to rock with that. I'm going to do that. And like, whether it works or it doesn't, like professionally, personally, socially, all those things, like it just kind of like happened but also happened at a great time because of COVID. I was barely traveling. Like it was just everything. And I went from having, frankly, talk like sacrifice wise, I chose not to go to college. Like I had no social life all through all my friends are college. I decided to cut. I shouldn't say no social life, but like a very much different than if I would have gone to college and decided to kind of just take this chance as doing what I'm doing now. And then like COVID came and I just like all of a sudden I was like, wow, I get to golf sometimes during the week. I get to hang out with people. I had roommates again. I connected with Anna. Then we, and then I had a girlfriend. Like it was a really cool, I hate saying like referring to COVID as cool because like, but if you didn't, you know, lose a loved one in COVID, didn't directly impact you, like a lot of good things in a way also happened for me in COVID. Like business was like radically reduced, which was definitely hard and scary, but like I got to like kind of like figure out in a way, like, which sounds so funny because I was 20 years old, but like what it was that I really wanted to do. Like, what am I, what is, what matters? Like, do I really like doing this? Like, what's most important to me? Like, then I realized if, when I realized like, oh, Anna's really cool, I want this to work. I was like, I realized, like, I always in my back of my head was like, I can't have a girlfriend. I can't make that work because I'm traveling, this and that. But then I realized if you really want it to work, you can make it work. And it was just like, that was like really cool to watch happen.
Eye-opening, right? So what is it that you want to do though? Because I want to hear this because now you're like, you had some time to reflect.
You know, I get asked this all the time. Like, I don't know what my 5 years looks like, what my 10 years looks like. I think that like this Gen Z stuff is really cool. I really enjoy the speaking aspect. I like the business side of it. If I were to guess, I see myself, you know, doing the Gen Z stuff for some time because it's still what's interesting. I've been doing it for 5 years, but it's just now becoming like mainstream. So theoretically I could ride the Gen Z way for probably another 10 years. Do I think I'll be full-time speaker? No, it's just not. I'll grow out of that. I think I see myself shifting into not entertainment, but like more production side of things, whether it be like starting, which there's a lot of things I've been working on, saying yes to, saying no to in the terms of like bigger production side of like entrepreneur work, Gen Z work. But I see myself kind of going down that path, but always having like a passion for like the business side of things. Like I'm more interested in like producing content on the back end side of stuff about like different shows and different young entrepreneur concepts than I am being on camera. I like the idea of being on camera because I think naturally, like, I think I'm good at like disseminating information in a way. Yep. But like, I don't see myself like going, I don't want to be an actor, but like, I'd say like my dream job is to host a talk show host and not now. In many, many years. Like, I always
you,
said, like,
I mean, you have a
Jimmy
ton.
Fallon.
Yeah.
Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
Next Jimmy. We got Jimmy over here.
You have a ton in your toolkit that you've learned from just doing this. So I think you have a lot of options in the future for sure.
I have a few. Can I ask you a few like scattered questions that are still in my brain?
Because I love the more random, the better.
There are like three. So the first one is, which we didn't talk, we talked about mentoring and we talked about how we were kind of at a fault in the Gen Z audience right now.
Yeah.
What would you say as like a tip to somebody in the Gen Z audience right now who's not getting mentors because of COVID and how the workplace is right now? Like how will they go about doing that? Because it's necessary.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. I think that like it's as much as it should be like your manager's responsibility, right? You're a new hire. They should be like looking out for you naturally. If they're not, you know, you don't get what you don't ask for. If you're like, I really want you to be my mentor, ask like shoot your shot. Like, it sounds so funny and professionally, but like ask who it is that you want to say, like, hey, I would love to learn more about you, but say the word mentor. Cause frankly, people love being told that they could be a mentor. Like it scratches your back, right? If you've been somewhere like, hey Sophie, I know you've been at XYZ for a long time. I would love if you could mentor me on this. And if you say mentor, naturally people are like, oh, that's so kind of them to look at me that way. But I always also say, come with something that you really want. Like an example, don't just say, will you be my mentor? Like they're gonna be like, on what? If you're like, I would love Sophie, if you could be my mentor on these three things, like, are, and then also like have a specific ask, like, are you free on Thursday for coffee? Or can we do a Zoom for an hour? Like put in the effort to show that it means a lot to you, that their knowledge is important. And then like, I'm always surprised if somebody says no, right? I mean, like if they will, people want a mentor.
People like talking about themselves too. Like exactly. They love it. So that's your like also segue into like, how do you network? Because you're a networking fiend, obviously. That's like,
yeah, I think like networking is like, there's like levels to networking. Like, right. Like if you were to look at like my LinkedIn, I have, you know, thousands of connections that I don't really know most of them, which like to me, I don't quantify as a network. Like, sure, somebody could say, do you know somebody at X company? I could look it up and be like, oh, actually, I guess I do. But like, I think networking is like, you know, taking advantage of being in, you know, certain scenarios, certain rooms, and, you know, leveraging that and also providing value to them, right? Like talk about, you know, how a relationship could be beneficial both ways and just like figuring out who those people are. And then once again, kind of coming to them with a tangible ask, like if you're looking for a lunch, why, when, all these things, like don't just like loosely throw out ideas, come like to something that's important to you, put in the effort to show that. But I also think it's really comes down to this idea of like taking advantage. Like I think Sophie asked, like, is entrepreneurship about luck, timing, all these things? Like a lot of it's the both. Like I have great examples of like when I just really had a very slim opportunity and kind of ran with it. And then like, seriously, I wouldn't have been doing what I'm doing now. Like I have plenty of those.
Yeah. Dang. I mean, it's all the tangible asks are like what I wanted to understand. This is my final question because I'm totally peppering you right now. It's because, okay, this kind of is going to be a workaround, but like entrepreneur, you did not go to college. You're 23 years old. At some point you probably didn't have faith in what you were doing. And the other, like the piece of that, that I want to really like talk to, because I felt this pressure as our generation, as our age group, you live in Minnesota and you're from Minnesota.
Yeah.
And you live here and you can still do all the things that you want to do, and you can still excel and not have gone to college and done all these amazing things. You don't need to be in LA. Bennett, you can attest to this too. You don't need to be in this crazy place if it's not where you want to be.
Right.
Because I feel this
very good point
pull to other states, right? Yeah. And like, oh my God, no, I need to move right after college.
Minneapolis,
I need to move.
Right. I mean, like I love it here. I was born and raised here. I did, and I can talk more about, I lived in New York for a good amount of time doing work stuff there. I spent some time in California for fun during COVID and working there. But like one side, on like a, on an actual tactical side, I think there might not be a better place for me to live than Minneapolis because of travel. I'm close to everywhere. Like I'm 3 hours to the West Coast, 3 hours to the East Coast at max. Like it's like actually beneficial for me to be here. But also, yeah, it's about like what you're offering. It doesn't have to align with, unless you're, you know, trying to be a Hollywood actor, or you want to be, you know, the biggest of investment bankers to go to New York. Like you can do anything anywhere. And that's like the remote workforce testifies that. Like all these young people are like, oh, I just want to work from home, but then want to work from home in a $5,000 a month Manhattan apartment. You don't need to be there.
So
right? It's like
such a good point.
Yeah. It's like anything's doable. Wow. Like I don't know.
Unless you want to be there. But I just think everybody has this pull of like, no, you have to move. Otherwise, right. Like you're not living your life to the fullest. Like,
I always say move if you have a reason, right? I've always said like for now, I'm very happy in Minneapolis. My family's here. I like it here. Like
your
I have
girlfriend's
here.
My
girlfriend's
like,
here.
Hey!
That's family, I guess.
It is family. Yeah.
But, yeah, like I've always said if I have a reason to move, I'll move, right? But like for now, like I'm just kind of happy where I'm at. But I totally agree with you that you don't need to. Success doesn't correlate with a specific place.
I love that.
Wow, mic drop.
Mic drop.
Mic
literally.
Drop. Absolutely. Like, yeah, if you want to move somewhere for weather, like for me, I'm like, the winter's coming up.
Yeah, winter sucks.
I know. I'm like, either Scottsdale or LA for you.
Don't get me wrong. Like a San Diego winter sounds a whole
like
lot
a dreamy little dream queen.
Come on.
Okay, Jonah, would you want to sit in on our listener Stray Cannon moment of the week?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to do it. So we have listeners write in kind of an embarrassing story. So we're going to share it and we'll have our reactions.
I'm not going to lie, I've never heard one of these. So.
Okay. Oh, really? Okay, really. Here we go.
So in high school, someone wrote in, she says, in high school, it was a male.
Oh, cool.
Okay, restarting for the third time. In high school, I met this girl at a football game that went to a different school. I befriended her the next day on Facebook and sent her a message. Facebook, okay. Super cute and the conversation was great. Simultaneously, I decided to load up Pornhub since my parents weren't home. And when you're in high school and have no one home, you'll take any chance you can get. For some really strange reason, I was in a phase where I didn't want to look at guys' penises while watching porn, so I typed in lesbian big tits.
Oh my God.
Editor's note, no shame, we like what we like. All of a sudden, I got a message from her saying, haha, what?
I accidentally
messaged her lesbian big tits instead of typing it that into the search bar on Pornhub. I said my friends, I replied back saying, haha, sorry, my friends took my laptop. It was like 11 a.m. on a Saturday. She didn't message me back.
That's a standard one.
Nor did we ever chat with her again. And I unfriended her 2 weeks later.
My friend took my phone is the
go-to.
The worst, but it was the go-to.
Sorry, that was my cousin. Sorry. My bad.
No, my friends literally grabbed my phone.
No, like, my phone's hooked up to iCloud. It was my brother from his phone. It's the cloud.
The cloud did it.
Oh, the cloud.
Whoever believed that shit.
Oh,
no,
that's good.
How many times, though, this has happened where you're like texting something to someone and it goes to the wrong person because you're talking about that person something.
Oh, you screenshot the conversation.
Yeah,
and
you
send
it to them.
The worst. You're done. I've done that a few times. Or you've been
dead
talking about
water.
Someone and you type it to them. You're like.
One time I was like calling my mom a bitch and like complaining in high school, I remember, and like to my girlfriend, and I was like, send this really long message being pissed off, and I sent it to my mom.
You didn't.
She calls me downstairs. She's like, Sophie. I'm like,
sorry, I said that. Oh, that's so awkward.
Oh
that
gosh.
Is so cringe. Cringe.
Lesbian big tits. That's how lesbian we end big the episode. Tits.
Jonah, sorry for the big tits, but what you were as an entrepreneur, as what you're doing, what is like one tip you'd leave for listeners, audience, candid people to head towards their entrepreneurship or whatever it is that they want to do to get there to kick it off?
If I was going to leave somebody with like in general approach to just doing your own thing is that I would say approach every situation with the the knowledge that it's probably not going to end up the way that you thought it was, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. This isn't even my quote, but I think that, like, it, or not really quote, the theory is, like, if you can fall in love with the journey rather than the end result, then the journey becomes the end result in a way. It's like, you have a goal of what you want to get to, but it rarely turns out that way. Just, like, figure out a general approach to what you want to do, stick to it, and then, like, if it doesn't turn out that way, it's probably still a success, right? I mean, just, like, have fun with what you're doing, but also work hard. Like, don't just... I guess actually this one last thing, because this is a big one. People always want to live in a big ass house before they build the blueprint, right? Everybody sees all these sexy things that we talked about at the beginning, like, yep, all these joking entrepreneur stuff, but they don't want to put in the fundamental work. They're just like, oh, I want the result. Like, there's so many parts of this that are so not sexy. It's not all sitting on a couch, hanging out, getting Caribou delivered to you, all these different things. I think it's a lot of, like, times and, like, where I'm sitting at my desk, like, this isn't working. Why is this not working? There's back-to-back days where I'm just sitting at a computer, nothing fun is happening, no good results. And then, but there's also, you know, fruit to it. Like, you get to reap the rewards of being an entrepreneur. So I would say, stick to the process. Don't just quit on it, and find something that you really want to do and just do it. Just try it.
You gotta get over the hump. The hump is the worst part. Yeah. Once you
and don't
start
give
it.
A damn if people are going to talk bad about it. Oh, that stuff's so dumb. Come on.
We're over that.
Yeah, whatever.
The haters I got goosebumps when you said that. I'll be honest, like, this was way more beneficial and helpful for me than I thought
it
was.
I'm so glad.
Yeah, that was sweet. Really insightful.
You're
Thank
an
you
insane
so
human
much.
Being.
Thank you.
You were insane all around.
Thanks for having me.
We loved having you. You're a genius. At yourself, will you? So somebody can find you at your book, everything, all the things.
At Jonah Stillman, I'm everywhere. You can, that's pretty much, just type Jonah Stillman and I'll pop up somewhere, wherever you want to connect. If you want to connect, I'd love to hear from
you. And your book is called?
Gen Z at Work.
All right. And your company is called?
Gen Guru.
All right.
Just going to keep going.
And your TED Talk is called?
Oh, that one, I'm so young.
TEDx something.
And I wore, and I wore fake glasses.
Okay,
did
never
you?
Mind.
Oh, why?
Fake glasses. Yeah, and skinny jeans.
No!
Choogie.
You don't have to type that, Ben. We're good. We're good.
As I have, like, 40 pairs of skinny jeans.
You can find it. Jonah Stillman TED Talk. It'll come up.
Oh, my God.
Now we know. You guys. All right, you guys. Thanks so much for joining in at Straight Candid Podcast.
I was like, what's my handle? At Candid Sid.
At Candid Soph.
And at Ben Sarbacher.
You guys, reminder that we have all our goodies in our link in bio. If you want to get some free stuff at Athletic Greens, if you want some 10% off BetterHelp, whatever it is.
If you want some therapy.
If you want some Manscaped goodies, use the code Candid20. We love you so, so much.
So much. Bye, y'all.
We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.